Welcome to yet another bullshit edition of the Chicken Shit Deep Fat Fried Show,
fried,
you
fat,
stupid
deep.
Fucking cocksucking idiots.
Fat, deep.
Whoa.
Dude, TJ, I think our show's actually called Fried Fat Deep.
Fried Fat Deep. Damp-bam-pa-doodle-loop.
I'm looking at
boop,
now.
Blop, blah, bloop,
and honestly, I'm more drawn to the fried, so that's the first word, then fat, and then finally
fried
deep.
Fat Deep.
Yeah, I'm attracted to the fat.
The fat.
I like
fat.
The fat. I like that fat's right in the middle.
Oh,
fat.
Yeah. It's tasty. It's tasty!
How do you feel about reformed fat people, Paul? Like, Kevin Smith's now thin.
He's not Kevin Smith anymore. He's not Kevin Smith anymore.
Shit.
He's no longer the Kevin Smith that I knew.
He's scum now. He's garbage.
So, once someone leaves the fat club, you guys, like, they're just
they're disavowed.
Gone. Oh, okay.
Disavow. You know what? Because we know they're fat in their hearts.
Because, you know, those are the worst
they're
types of skinny people.
They're betraying their true selves.
That what they're doing when they're talking to all their new skinny friends is they're talking about, like, oh, my God, being fat was so awful. I was such an awful person when I was fat.
Fuck,
I was disgusting,
dude.
And I stunk, and it just was awful, and blah, 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 blah. You know they're just out telling all your secrets to all the skinnies. So
fucking
fuck them.
Skinnies, man.
Fuck the skinnies. Ooh. And fuck them. Fuck the ex-fats. Fuck them all.
They're garbage.
Yeah, they really are.
They're human garbage.
Terrible fucking people.
Now,
dude.
What do you think about skinny people who get fat? Do you accept
they're
them?
Even a sadder crew because they know already the heaping amounts of scorn that they've put on fat people. And they know that they're going to get that, so they...
So do you take more of like a forgive and forget strategy with them, or are you just holding
on? Oh, no, dude. It's the chickens are coming home to roost.
Forgive, never forget. Forgive, never forget. So a skinny is always a skinny mentally.
Right.
They always want to make fun of a fat. So...
That's true, dude.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, even when a fucking skinny gets fat, they still hate the fat. Pieces of shit.
Yeah, they garbage. Hate themselves. And by proxy, all the rest of us. All us fats.
Penn Jillette should be castrated. Traitor.
Whoa, dude, that's strong fucking sentiments, man. I don't know. What has Penn Jillette done to be castrated?
The TJ cough cast, dude. The fucking cough cast, dude.
TJ, if you could castrate anybody, who would you castrate? And you can't say Ben Shapiro because he's already been done.
Yeah, I mean, Ben Shapiro obviously
I mean, clearly
no
he's
nuts.
Been castrated.
You know what you need to do, TJ? You need to
What's
start
that?
Dipping.
I need a dip?
Yep. Just start dipping, because you can't smoke. It just hurts your lungs, so just dip. If you got to get the nicotine, just start dipping.
Yeah, give me some nicotine, TJ. Dipping.
You know what I mean?
I'm really getting
man, dude,
my nicotine.
Don't get lung cancer. Get mouth cancer.
Yeah. I mean, what's the difference? At least mouth cancer, you'd somewhere you can see. You can attack it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not buried
true.
In the lung.
It's not buried all deep in there and shit. That's
you know?
True. Very true.
We have a Patreon. It's good. Go there.
Go to Patreon, do the Patreon things, you pieces of shit.
We're going to play Dungeons and Dragons while we're loaded.
We are. So.
That's
going to
be awesome.
Wait, where's the booze?
Oh, we booed.
Oh, shit, dude. Let me go grab it.
Go grab at least the Jack Daniels.
Yeah, grab the Patron.
We are doing
Jack Daniels.
For patrons only, next month, Dank Dungeons and Drunken Dragons, me, I don't know, me and Scotty and Paul and most of our girlfriends, I don't think Chelsea will do it. Maybe I could talk her into it. We're all going to sit down.
It's going to be a big crew, a big game.
And we're going to fucking play. And Stevie's going to be there, too.
There's going to be rules, you know, so drinking shots will be taken. Legal tobacco will be consumed.
All manner of drugs will happen.
It's going to be amazing.
Oh, well, whatever. Yeah. Scotty can't find the booze. He probably drank it all the fucking drunk. Ever since he stopped drinking Mountain Dew, he's had a serious alcohol problem. It's really crazy.
Wow.
You just need to get back on the
did
Dew.
You were a better guy on the Dew,
I fucking
Scotty.
Protest, dude. I do not drink Mountain Dew.
I mean, I keep getting these sloppy 4 a.m. phone calls from you like, Paul, I love you, man. I love you. I love you so much. I'm like, Scotty, it's all right. Just go to bed. Sleep it off, brother. And that was on the Mountain Dew. So
I'm
on the alcohol,
fucking,
you're even
dude,
worse.
I've never fucking had Mountain Dew in my life. Won't you guys understand? Like, I don't know. Look. Enough is enough, guys, really. I mean, can we just admit right here?
It's time to hashtag undo the do.
Yeah, undo the do, Scotty.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't drink Mountain Dew. Come on. Like, I mean, like, look, guys. I mean, look, I know you're going to laugh out of this and it's funny, but I mean, people have been inundating me with bullshit about Mountain Dew. It's like, come on, can we just fucking just... we knock this off, guys. Can we knock it the fuck off? TJ, you don't... TJ, have you ever seen me drink Mountain Dew?
Yes.
When?
Every
hashtag
day of your fucking
send
life,
Mountain Dew
bitch.
To Scotty. Hashtag send Mountain Dew to Scotty.
Every
hashtag
day.
Send
I
Mountain
don't
Dew
like
to
fucking
Scotty.
Mountain Dew.
Yes, you do.
No, I
yes,
don't.
Yes, you Mountain Dew.
No, I fucking don't, TJ. No, I fucking don't,
You do.
I don't!
You Mountain Dew. Undo the do. I see the hashtag starting, dude.
Dude, Scotty quit the show.
Scotty's
dude.
Quitting the show. While he's gone, let's explain the concept.
Okay,
here's
the concept.
So the concept is Dr. Phil and Dr. Drew are both massive pieces of fucking
total pieces
shit,
of human garbage, yes.
And they suck, not to insult unrepentant pieces of shit by liking.
I mean, there's
these
nothing wrong with
guys.
Being unrepentant, but
whatever. It's unrepentant for being pieces of shit. They're pieces
sure.
of shit.
They are both pieces of shit, yes.
You could decide for yourself what's bad about
Well, that's
what
we're here to do tonight, is decide which one of these is the biggest huckster piece of shit.
Yes.
And that's going to be a tough... We got a long road to hoe here, TJ. Mm. There's going to be a lot of hucksterism covered here tonight.
Yeah, dude. And snake oil, we're going to measure it in snake oil. So.
Oh.
You know, we've done Biebers before. We've done Vanilla Ices before. We have all kinds of interesting systems of measurement here. But today's system of measurement is just going to be fucking 100% pure, grade A, premium, cures what ails you, snake oil.
Oh, yeah. Dude, if you've got a rash, it cures that. Cancer?
AIDS?
It cures that. Pleurisy? Water on the knee? It cures that. You got a herpes sore on your lip? Put a little snake oil on it. Cures it right up. Got fungal toenails? Those green, brittle, fungus-ridden toenails, TJ? You got those?
Yeah.
Get some snake oil.
How about impotency, Paul?
Impotency?
You know
Dude,
all about that,
dick
don't you,
will
buddy?
Pep right the fuck up with the snake oil. All you got to do is take a shot of the snake oil and then rub a little right under your taint there.
Delicious.
Boom. Rock
Delicious.
Hard. In minutes.
Yes.
Trust me, take it home. You got to buy it to take it home,
Parkey's
of course.
Tonic water, dude.
I won't be here tomorrow, so get it today.
So, these fucking faggots here.
I mean, is Dr. Phil really a snake oil peddler, teacher? I'm more of just an exploitative asshole, though.
They're both peddling fucking
so
snake
what,
oil.
What, they, yeah. So they are?
Oh,
so
yes.
Oh, yeah.
So oh, they're both hucksters.
So Dr. Phil is a total snake oil shilling huckster piece of garbage.
As is Dr.
From the word go.
Because to me, just from the outside looking in, because I don't know much about Dr. Phil, but all I've really seen about him is his just schlocky television, his, you know, so your mother was touching your brother, and you let this go on for several years. You know what I mean? Like, just that kind
of
shit.
Well, that's a form of snake oil,
so,
dude.
Just,
but we'll talk about
so
it.
So it's like more of like a tabloid thing to me. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. You'll see the depths to which both of these men
okay.
will go to make
I mean, that's
to
what I
want to
fucking
dollar.
Know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because that's what this is about. How that low are you willing to
How fucking
to sink
low can they fucking
to
go,
chase
dude?
A fucking dollar
The dollar
bill.
Limbo. How many morals will you slash?
So let me tell you something, man. Let's talk about these sons of bitches, huh?
So, well, show them the categories here. So we're going to do early life.
Early life, yeah.
Pre-TV.
So before they were TV.
TV careers.
I don't know what's going on with the graphics down here.
Who knows?
Okay, there we go. TV careers. Exploitation.
Ooh.
So what about them is exploitative, if anything?
Well, and greatest achievement.
And their greatest achievement in life, yes.
Because we always do that. We always,
that's the
we're
idea.
Fair. We're fair.
We're fair. We give them their due.
Fair
we
and balanced.
Give the devil their
due. Fried fat deep, fair and balanced.
Amen. So we're going to start with Mr. Phil, which is what his name really
Thank
fucking
you, TJ.
Should be.
By the way, hashtag send Mountain Dew to Scotty.
I mean, really, Paul?
Scotty loves a dew.
You're
hashtag
fucking,
Scotty
yeah,
loves
dude,
a
dew. This is real professional, Paul.
Hashtag Scotty loves
How about
a dew.
Send
hashtag
piss
Scotty
to Paul.
Loves a dew. All right, sorry.
Send piss to Paul, dude. All
right, so here's how it goes. All
okay.
right. Let's talk about Dr. Phil for a second here. I'm going to go ahead and bring up a Dr. Phil picture.
Was right, he always everybody. Bald?
Well, we'll see. I hope. I hope we.
I think he was, dude.
We found some pictures.
This is
the
best
man.
Fucking possible picture. I guess it's not going through automatically for some reason, so.
Yeah, because I've always wondered if he was born cue ball bald with a mustache.
Whoa.
Wow.
He really likes bottled water.
He looks like his mind is absolutely blown by that bottle of water.
That bottle of water contains the secrets of the universe. He did a fucking fat ass hit of acid just
yeah.
before he did the show here.
I just took the DMT
he
and
just
I like
saw
it.
All of reality take shape in a beaded drop of water.
Dude, I really hope
that
that's
bottle.
What was going on.
So this piece of fucking subhuman garbage shit was born in Vanita, Oklahoma. All right.
That sounds like a place where pieces of shit are born
and,
for a living.
I think we can give him a snake oil just for being born in Oklahoma.
Yeah, give him two Because Oklahoma and then Vanita. You know what I mean? If he was born in, like, Oklahoma City, you couldn't give him two.
Dude, he has small town charm, dude. Take away two.
What?
Small town charm, guys.
Oh, don't be an apologist
right.
for
you
this.
Know what?
Come
I'll
on,
do
guys.
One.
All right,
do
all
one.
Right. That's
he's getting
fine.
One. He's getting fucking one.
I mean, look,
one.
City versus country argument. I mean, a lot of people think it's, you know, it's nice he was born in
fair
a small
enough,
town,
but he was,
dude.
You know what? It's worse than being born in a small town.
I mean, can you argue the point? There's a lot of people that fucking suck the dick of small town America.
Oklahoma just fundamentally sucks.
I mean,
should be punished.
Okay, well, it you know what? That fair enough. It fundamentally sucks, so give him one.
Yes.
All right, that's fair. All right.
He's got one.
All right, he's got to have his one, dude. He's got to have his one.
He's got, well, I mean, yeah, all right.
All right, so.
Let's see the wisdom to that.
Let's see. He was the son of, who gives a shit who is yeah, his dad? Well, his dad kind of
was his dad famous?
His mom was named Ann Geraldine, whatever.
Geraldine.
His dad is Joe McGraw Jr.
Joe McGraw
yes.
Jr.?
Damn! His
that
name
sounds
is Joe
like
McGraw Jr.
That sounds like somebody that shoots you in the street out in front of a saloon or something.
Yes, it does.
He grew up with two older sisters, Deanna and Donna, younger sister, Brenda. All right. So he was born in Oklahoma, but he was raised in Texas, where his father was an equipment supplier to some of the oil fields there.
Okay.
All right. During McGraw's childhood, his family moved so his father could pursue a lifelong goal of becoming a psychologist.
Oh.
So his dad...
So his dad had dreams.
His dad did not want to be a supplier. He wanted to be a psychologist. He wanted
cool,
to
dude.
Help
admirable,
people or whatever.
Admirable choice of profession.
Right. So McGraw... This is Dr. Drew as a fucking kid. He's here in sixth grade here. And you just look at the fucking...
Wow, vacant. You see why he has a mustache from
yes,
this picture.
Yes, you do.
He has literally no upper lip.
That's true. He doesn't.
He has a very vacant look on
he
his face,
he attended Shawnee Mission North High School in Overland Park, Kansas. 1968, he was awarded a football scholarship to the University of Tulsa. Here he is as a teenager, by the way.
Wow. Okay. Wait a minute now.
Yeah. Looking better.
Good looking dude. Look at him.
He was a football star.
Look at him. He's got the dimple chin and everything. He looks like a movie star. I don't know about that hair up there, though. That looks like it's already bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it is.
Oh, it
yeah,
is,
it is
dude.
Bad already. It's already
he's
going.
He's already having to, like, comb the curls forward and shit.
Oh,
to,
he
like,
went bald early, dude.
His male pattern.
He went
wow.
bald early.
What a bad, shitty fucking straw to draw in life.
Yep. So he played the middle linebacker under a dude named Coach Glenn Dobbs, all right? This is great. On November 23rd of that year, McGraw's team lost to the University of Houston at a score of 100-6.
What the fuck?
It's one of the most lopsided games in college football.
So Dr.
history.
Phil fucking sucked at football, dude.
Well, his team sucked, and Coach Dobbs retired after that season.
No shit!
Did he play
they
in that
game? They lost 100-6.
Yes, he did. He played in...
Give him a snake oil.
Yeah.
He played the worst game of college ball ever played. Give him a snake oil. He literally took the biggest L in the history of college ball. Snake
yes.
oil.
100-6.
Dude, 100?
That is a rip.
I've never fucking heard that in a
the
football game.
The only way that could be worse is if they didn't put anything on the board.
This is his dad, Joe, by the way.
okay. Well, he looks like an old man. I mean, what do you want?
So
he doesn't really look much like Phil now.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else for his early childhood or anything
except
like
for the
that.
Stash. Dude, is Phil just trying to be his dad?
Maybe. We'll see. I mean,
his
he
dad
did.
Kept the same stash.
Oh, shit, see, dude.
Dad Paul, wanted to be a psychologist.
Dude, fucking Paul Sack psychoanalyzing Dr. Phil, dude.
Yeah. Damn. Psychoanalyzing the psychoanalyzer, bitch. All right.
Dr. Phil, please sit down.
So I don't have comfortable. I don't have the Drew stuff, but I mean I do if you want me to read it, but
Dr. Drew. Dude, he is fucking baked as shit in this
look
picture.
Look at his ass. This is him as a kid.
This is Dr. Drew in high school.
He looks
like a stoner for sure.
Cute.
Penske was born in Pasadena, California.
Whoa.
You guys have some roots there. Don't
I
you?
Was born in Pasadena.
I was also born in
well.
Pasadena.
Wow.
And I, that kind of looks
give
like
give him
me
a
in
snake oil. You guys are the two biggest scammers I know.
Yep.
Shit, dude. Go ahead.
Pasadena, the city of scammers.
The city of a million scams.
Give him a snake oil. I wasn't even thinking he was going to earn one for just Pasadena, but you talked me into it.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough, man.
His father, Morton Pinsky, was a physician whose parents immigrated from the Ukraine. So first generation American. Interesting. His mother, Helene Stanton, was a singer and actress who came from a highly Victorian upper middle class family in Philadelphia. He's a rich kid, basically. Dad's a doctor. Mom's an old movie star. Lives in Pasadena.
I actually have a clip of his mom's
movie.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting. His mom was kind of hot. This isn't her. This is her here in this scene.
Is that her? She's hot.
No.
Damn.
Damn, very masculine, but still yet so feminine.
Looks good in a suit.
All right, so there she is.
Yeah, that's Dr. Drew's mom.
You shouldn't have come here. I may have been followed.
There was a time when you would have welcomed me under any circumstances.
Ooh. And the rest
they
of
have
this
a
is
history.
Not, the rest of this has nothing to do with her.
Well, then
this
fuck
is another
this.
Woman. Yeah, but yeah, that was the only clip I could find or readily and quickly of her. But yeah, mom was a minor movie star, never broke super big, but did a bunch of films and stuff.
So steady work kid. As an actress. Yeah.
You know, one thing that was interesting about Dr. Drew that I learned pulling his early life stuff was this polytechnic school that he goes to. He did most of his early schooling, so K through 12, at a school in Pasadena called the Polytechnic School, which is basically like, if I'm reading right on their, I ended up spending a lot of time looking at the Polytechnic School because they sound like an educational wonderland. Like all the shit that I bitch about when I go on a rant about
education,
they address it there. It's a private school, so yeah. Obviously rich kids only need apply unless you got a voucher. But small class sizes, big open areas, class collaboration, all the things that don't happen in normal school, happen there. So a lot of famous, semi-famous folks have come out of there. I didn't pull a list of them because Dr. Drew's the most notable among them. But some state senators and some governors and some this, that, and the other things have all come through this school. And it's a really prestigious school. But really kind of snobbish, too, because it's in Pasadena. So that's a super
So it's like a really
upscale.
Great school, but it's basically for rich people.
Right.
Or people who get lucky and get scholarships.
Right. So I don't know if he earns a snake oil for that or not. I don't think he does. I mean, he didn't choose to be born to rich parents, right? You can't.
Fair. He didn't choose to be born in Pasadena, but you still gave him one for that.
Well, he was raised in Pasadena, though. That's why. Because it's the city
so
of scams.
Like, I feel like you already... I feel like you already appraised that point then.
The city of scams, TJ. The city of scams. Yeah, so we got the picture of him in high school. And so that's basically it. Like, his childhood is kind of shrouded in mystery. He didn't do much of note in his early years. He kind of broke onto the scene. He definitely wanted to be a doctor like his father. That was his aim. And when we're getting into the pre-TV section for Drew, so we'd probably want to go...
Yeah.
Go
right,
back
so
to
I'm going to go to Dr.
Phil. Phil
now, this
yeah.
is where Dr. Phil's story gets a little bit
dicey,
fucked up. Like, not just dicey, but to me, fucked up. It depends on your value system. You're reading this shit, but, you know, I'll let you be the judge.
All right, fair
so
enough.
So Dr. Phil, first of all, is a pretty well-educated guy. Like, he has...
I mean, you can't publicly call yourself Dr. Phil.
He
really,
graduated
really
1975 from a Midwestern State University with a BA in psychology. He went on to earn an MA in experimental psychology in 1976 and a PhD degree in clinical psychology in 1979
Damn.
At the University of North Texas.
So he is legitimately Dr. Phil. Because I've heard people say that they think he's not even really a doctor. So
well,
they can put that to
wrong.
Rest. He can.
I call him Mr. Phil at this point. Because, well,
he has a doctorate. You have to call him Dr. Phil.
I don't have to do anything.
Why not?
Where his
Why
dissertation
yes,
was
do,
titled.
TJ. Yes, you do, TJ.
He had a dissertation.
Look at me.
Yes.
Look at me.
Yeah.
You do have to call me by doctor.
No.
I will not accept your disrespect.
I've earned
your
that
psychology
title, TJ.
I earned
license.
That title, TJ.
TJ?
Lapsed in 2006.
I earned that title.
You still...
I'm a doctor.
You didn't keep up with your licenses. So.
I still have a doctorate.
No.
He still has it, TJ.
You're disqualified.
He is not... TJ, he is... Look, TJ, he
a
is...
A doctorate
this
is not
for entertainment.
A title that goes away whether you maintain your license.
TJ,
it's a title
it is
conferred
did
upon
he earn,
the completion
did he earn
of
a doctorate,
doctorate
TJ?
Degree, TJ?
The doctor
hey, you
want to
go
doctorate?
Head-to-head with me, TJ?
Did he,
go head-to-head, TJ?
So he wrote a thing...
TJ, excuse me.
Yes.
Excuse me.
I'm trying to tell you about his fucking
excuse
dissertation.
Me. Excuse me.
Yes.
Did he earn a doctorate or not?
Yes, he did.
Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
But I still call him Mr. Phil because he sucks.
That's fine. That's incorrect.
Rheumatoid arthritis, a psychological intervention. I looked up the dissertation. He was basically just seeing if relaxation techniques would alleviate the symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis.
Wow, he wanted to help people with rheumatoid arthritis, yeah. Dude.
And it's pretty dry, but I read it, or most of it, or whatever. It was like 130 pages long. But there was nothing juicy in there.
No, nothing juicy?
No. But here's where it gets kind of juicy. You think after all that stuff, he'd want a career in psychology. And for a while, he did it. But I think he learned pretty quickly that he doesn't really have a genuine interest in helping people.
Is that's your contention?
That's what I think.
Okay.
Because, I mean, he did the whole one-on-one psychology thing for a while. But a few years after being in practice, he's like, I hate this.
I actually, in fact, do not give a shit about your problems.
He decides what he really wants to do is make some fucking money. And so he decides to get with his dad.
He's going to make some fucking moolah.
Also, at this point, living his dream of being a psychologist.
Right.
And they team up with this woman named Thelma Box.
Thelma right. Box?
Thelma Box.
That's just a really lazy last
Sounds
name.
Sounds like a pseudonym.
She's a Texas businesswoman. All right? And they decide that they're going to get into the seminar business.
Oh, shit.
And they
dude.
Start doing self-help seminars under the name Pathways.
Oh, shit. You're right. Give me okay, snake oil
all right,
for
give,
that.
Give up
for Pathways.
Hold on. You might want to get more than one because listen right. to this.
Okay, well, one right. so far.
The seminars were billed as experience-based training, which allows individuals to achieve and create their own results.
Five snake oils, dude.
That's
every scam rolled into
is
one,
Is that a
dude.
Direct quote from that?
Yes. That's,
five snake
that's
oils.
That's how it was billed.
Five.
Five.
Give him five.
Dude, it is just like a prey on the
that
stupid
is
and weak.
That sounds
seminar.
Like the... Dude, so he was already a huckster.
Yes.
Wow.
Dude, Paul, he
oh,
practiced...
Oh, it gets better.
Oh, I always thought Phil
you
know, was tainted
you know
by
crazy?
The money or some
he
shit.
No.
Listen to this.
He practiced real medicine for like 2 years and was like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
I mean, what a joke,
so
dude.
So here's what he did. Next. So Thelma Box, and this is kind of skipping forward, but it ties in.
Okay.
Thelma Box, after Dr. Phil became famous, ended up saying that phrases and terminology and quaint sayings used by McGraw on Oprah and the Dr. Phil show were coined by Box and presented by McGraw in old Pathways seminars. So McGraw admits that some of the material from Life Strategies, his first bestseller, is taken directly from the Pathways seminar. However, he has never mentioned Box or her contributions
dude.
To his success.
So
in
he just
any
like,
way.
Oh man, he is a fucking
oh,
snake, dude. Give
dude,
him five
what a dirty
more, dude.
Fuck.
Dude, he is like the kind of guy that's like, yeah, teacher, we're gonna team up on this. You write all this shit, so like,
what
thanks.
A filthy fuck.
Hey, you know what?
So, all kinds
I
of
have
these
an
famous
idea.
Witticisms and shit that he
I'm gonna
was
publish
using
a
on
fucking
Oprah and
book.
Shit. They were all written by this bitch because she's like this pithy saying machine or whatever. And he's got the charisma to deliver them way better than she does. So he goes out there and presents this stuff that she wrote a bunch of it up, but she doesn't get any credit when he actually makes it big and
so
gets famous.
Dr. Phil is really just a performer is what you're saying at this point.
Yes.
I mean, that's really what he is.
And he's a self-help guy. And here's the fucking fucked up cherry on the sundae. Because remember, he went into this with his dad, too. 8 years after joining Box, McGraw signed an agreement for the sale of his Pathways seminar stock for $325,000 without notifying either his father or Box of the impending sale.
Oh.
So he sold his stock out from under them without even notifying them that he's leaving the fucking company. He's
wow.
just like, I'm gone.
Dude.
Slay is
so
ruthless, dude.
Yeah, dude, give him at least another three snake oils for this. So he's up to like seven or eight.
Oh, dude, he's up to more than that, dude.
Well, you got
well,
five.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Just on this one.
Oh,
yeah.
just on this. Oh, I got you.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's got eight so,
so he's
far
up to 10
in his pre-TV overall. Career. See, this may not be the horse race I'm making it out.
So Choices, actually, the company Choices is still
scamming away.
Because well, Box after Box left. Or actually, Dr. Phil left Pathways. Box decided she was going to do her own seminar series entitled Choices. And here's that. You know, success, sunset, cheerful, life, direction, active, happiness,
dude, oh my God.
Joy, if freedom, look, inspiration, healthy,
if you can't see this is a scam.
Oh, my God, dude. Can you imagine? Dude, we should go to one of these fucking things one time
and
document it.
I cannot heal or change what I do not acknowledge. I'll go to their about real quick because she's still trying to get a little bit of that Dr. Phil shit. And this is the bitch here. Thelma Box is the creator and founder of Choices Seminars. She is a successful Texas businesswoman. Years spent in successful real estate, hotel, and insurance businesses left her wondering why employees and friends practiced behaviors that were self-defeating. Here she comes to save us. And she's still talking about Dr. Phil. In 1983, Thelma Box, Dr. Phil McGraw, and Joe McGraw started
seminars. Dude, see how much this shit cost, dude.
So that people could live their lives at 100%.
See how much this actually like. Let's say you want it. Registration.
How much does it cost to go to this shit? Registration.
All right.
How much? We should go to one of these and document the. Oh, they don't even let you know.
You don't even know.
You have to
ask
fill
if you're
out
a
all
smoker
your
or not.
They got to fill out all this shit before you go.
Yeah, what a calendar.
Weirdly, even though she left Pathways,
look on the calendar. You might be able to see the events. Sometimes they have like the prices.
Yeah, they got to give you the price somewhere.
All right.
So where
we'll
are they
go
going next?
Events in Texas here. So there's Choices, and then there's Super Choices.
Oh,
and then there's
shit.
Givers 1 and 2, and then there's Super Givers. What? And then there's a kids camp to brainwash the kids. And
that's in New Braunfels. That's like right around where I was staying.
Yeah, and I don't know. There's nothing listed about...
Wow, she's like working my old neighborhood.
And even though...
scam circuit.
Even though
cool.
Dr. Phil left Pathways, and she left Pathways, and everyone left Pathways, for some reason Pathways is still a thing as well. So we can kind of look at what that's become as well. I don't know. Let's check out their about...
Is he still...
He has nothing to do with it anymore.
So he's just, then who cares? Maybe they've carried along his...
They say that they carry on his tradition.
Oh, okay, I got
so
it.
So it's to build self-esteem, confidence, and personal power, raise emotional intelligence, maturity, and heal emotional wounds, discover new tools to resolve relationship issues, find your life's purpose... Change destructive habits into positive ones. I mean, it's just going to it's going to make you a better person.
You know what's
all
just
around.
Great now? Dude, the scammers really have evolved.
I mean, how the fuck is this not snake oil?
That's what I'm saying, because you know what? They used to have the snake oil to sell you. Like, there had to be a physical, tangible thing that's going to fix your problems. Now it's just like, we're going to make you able to deal with your problems. Like, the even bigger scam. Because you know what? If you fail, you can't blame them. Like, they gave you the tools. You didn't just didn't properly use it.
You suck.
What's the thing of this list? Is it, do you follow every blue check mark with a generality?
Yes.
Like, that's...
Come on, Paul. Dude, look at this one. Restore your faith in humanity. Wow.
Dude... Let's pay for Paul to go. Paul's got to go, dude.
Paul, you got to go to Pathways, this. Dude.
I'll do it. Find out. Like, let's book
let's
me.
See where
I'll shoot the whole thing, dude.
Let's go.
I'll go.
Dude.
All right, here's their 2018 calendar. Okay, where are they going to come?
Yeah, they got to be close.
When are they coming, man?
I don't know. They're all over the place. All
right, so starting when? This is 2018, January.
Go to October.
Whoa.
Oh, we got to log in?
All right, well, we'll have to figure it
out. All right, here's what everything is.
Okay.
This is the blue ones are Weekend and Partners. The dark blue ones are The Walk.
The Walk?
Yeah, The Walk.
Oh, shit, dude.
Let's see. Does it tell you? No, doesn't tell you. You got to fucking sign up for some shit. It's behind a paywall.
All right, well.
These things are basically cults.
I know. I'm gonna do it.
These things are basically fucking cults.
It says it's going to restore my fucking faith in humanity, dude. Send me to this thing.
Send it to you.
Send me to this thing. Dude, it'll be hilarious. It'll be hilarious, dude. I'll shoot the whole fucking thing. I'll be honest. Maybe they'll get me.
What if they get you, and then we got to deal with your new positive attitude all the time?
That's not going to happen.
That
dude.
Would suck.
That would suck for us. I mean, like
for
even
you,
the remote possibility of
for
that
me,
would
I would I'd be my best self.
All right. Well, I guess so. TJ, you okay, buddy? What the fuck? I didn't even do nothing.
TJ, you okay?
You okay,
okay
buddy?
TJ,
you okay?
You okay, buddy?
TJ, are you okay? Are you okay, TJ?
You all right, right. Dude?
That's
no, these
that
fucking.
Is,
that's Dr. Drew.
All right.
So are you? Is there more? Pre-TV?
No, there's. That's it. Wait. No, I'm sorry. There's. God. There's so much more, Dr. Phil. What am I thinking?
Wow.
Damn.
Is there anything with Dr. Phil?
I thought I was done, but I'm not. There's still more I have to go through. So in 1990, not making enough fucking money doing these scam-ass seminars,
I mean, of course, I suppose.
Which I'm sure he was making a shit ton, but he basically used that money to start a new company called Courtroom Sciences, Inc., a consulting firm for big trials.
If nothing else, you have to stand back in awe of the bullshit that this guy concocted.
And here's what they get up
career.
To. Let me tell you what they get up to. All right, so here's what they specialize in. Court reporting, which is just documenting what's happening in the court. So whatever.
So pretty innocuous.
So that's not too much. Whatever. But here's where it gets a little weird. Records retrieval.
I mean, hey.
It's not too bad. Just finding records. Litigation psychology. This is where it gets fucked up to me. Our team of social psychologists and legal experts conduct jury research. So basically, like, let's figure out which jurors we think are going to go our way and make sure that we select those.
Well, that's voir dire. Both sides do that.
Sure. But, I mean, like, I'm talking about in a big trial where it's, like, a giant corporation versus someone who doesn't have those kind of resources.
He'd be the guy that they'd hire to help them find out
the
He's going to be the guy that they're
hiring not to be fair, but to fucking stack everything in their favor, which is, of course, what they're supposed to do in a court case.
The people that are using shit like this are rich people.
Right.
Yes.
If I was doing a trial, I couldn't afford this shit.
No.
Fuck no, not even close, dude.
So they do that. They do witness training. Just sounds wrong fundamentally. Assist litigation attorneys with a variety of trial and attribution services. CSI ensures that clients have powerful case strategies reinforced with clear themes and theories.
You know what it sounds like?
I mean, this is basically, you know, they're basically there to be to figure out the mass psychology of the jury and whoever else is
watching
and trying to control how things are presented.
Like what it does is also it creates a legal separation. So it's like you have the lawyer, and then the lawyer hires this person. So there's even a greater separation between the client and the person using the service. You know what I mean?
They're basically there to make sure the theatrics of your trial are
look good.
Which I think is scummy. And, you know, in a case where it's two giant corporations against each other, both sides have that.
I mean, I'd say it's scummy, but if you were on trial, like...
Sure, want it.
Of course you'd
want it. I'd fucking want
it. Of course.
The reason I think it's scummy is because I just think of all the scenarios where some poor fuck that got screwed over by a giant corporation is trying to sue, and he's up against this shit.
What about all the people fucked over by the state constantly where they don't get adequate legal representation, dude? I mean, so it's like...
Like, what expertise... I guess using psychology, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense. But, like, legal expertise... He's not a lawyer. None of that background information you gave us included law, so it's
doesn't
like,
matter. Because
he's there to psychologically manipulate.
And
it all works, dude. It all works in fucking,
you know. And he's just
give him another snake oil for that.
I mean, that I think it's snake oily. I don't think it deserves a ton, but I think it gets
it deserves to be noted for sure. That's
all right,
shitty.
So eventually, CSI, the fucking acronym of his company, became a profitable enterprise, advising Fortune 500 companies and injured plaintiffs in achieving settlements. McGraw is no longer an officer or director of the company. So he's not involved any longer, but he did start it.
But still, it makes sense. Yeah.
After starting CSI, McGraw ceased the practice of psychology. He kept his license current and in good standing until he elected to retire it 15 years later in 2006. Appearing on the Today Show in January 2008, McGraw said he has made it very clear that his current work does not involve the practice of psychology. He also said he has retired from psychology. According to the Today Show, the California Board of Psychology determined in 2002 that he did not require a license because his shows involve entertainment rather than psychology.
So wait a minute. If he sits... Now, we'll get to his TV shows later, but I have questions. Well, no, I guess I got to ask the question now because it's coming up now. He sits a mom across from somebody she molested and has an intervention with those two people and talks. How is
Paul,
that not the practice
Paul,
of psychology?
That is for entertainment purposes
for
only.
He's a highly trained psychologist.
No, Paul. Paul, this
Dr.
is entertainment.
Phil is for novelty purposes.
And he
only
facilitates a conversation between a mother and somebody that
Paul,
mother molested
do people
or
have,
was molested
Paul,
by.
Paul, do people have free will?
Of course they do.
I
but
probably
I'm just saying,
then,
why do
then
people,
they freely and openly choose.
I probably should have put that
to
in
broadcast
the
TV these
problems.
Do they not,
but,
Paul?
But
do
it
they,
makes sense,
Paul. Paul, are these people compensated anyway to be on Dr. Phil? Do you think? I would guess they probably some of them probably are, right?
Yes.
So you say it's exploitative, but in the same sense, maybe they're exploiting the show and the audience as well.
Well, they everybody's trying to chase the dollar at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the muck master at the top of the heap, though. Shitting out.
I mean,
little,
undeniably, Paul. But I mean, we have to be honest about the shit heap. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, would the shit heap not exist if a bunch of people didn't like to look at shit?
I mean, that's true, dude. I like looking at this shit sometimes.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, so there's part of you is like yeah, this guy's an exploited fuck, but he's being rewarded for it. So obviously, it works to some degree. There's some genuine need for people like him in the world, I guess. I mean, as fucked up as it is to say, I mean,
I guess so.
It is kind of a reality, is it not?
All right, so that's all I got for his pre-TV career.
Well, I got to tell you, Dr. Drew really doesn't have... See, Dr. Drew's a different kind of story.
Oops.
Because Dr. Drew, I think... Well, it sounds like Phil charges out the gate as a villain. Dr. Drew, I think, is a guy that was corrupted by the money. Because his early career is really pretty cool. He was in school still when it started, and he was in still a medical student. Now, he went ahead and got his doctorate and everything and practices medicine, but his real career as we know him in entertainment started in 1984. He started appearing on this thing while still a medical student called Ask a Surgeon, which was on K-Rock, which is the biggest rock station in New York. And it was like a late night kind of weird show where they'd have doctors on to talk about things. And he started
K-Rock
appearing
in Los Angeles. So that was in Los Angeles.
Oh, K-Rock. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
LA. Yeah. I thought maybe there's another one in New York or something.
Right. So it was a big, radio show at the time. Yeah. I don't know why K-Rock I always associate with fucking Howard Stern. Cause he was at K-Rock, but that's in,
he was syndicated there.
That's on the East.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. But anyways, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, in L.A., so it was just a show where people could call in with medical questions. And he kind of stood out as a personality almost immediately. And another show that they had, Loveline.
He just had more je ne sais quoi, like he had more of that equality where it's like he knew there was an audience listening.
He was a good straight man. They found out that he was a good straight man to put across from a really boisterous comedian. He played well against a guy that was super funny. He was a good, like, actually, it's not that way, Tim. You know, yeah. Like that guy.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
but he does a good job.
I briefly remember Loveline, and there was like Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew, and like, yeah, I always remember that show where he'd be like, well, if you have some genital warts, it sounds like you need to have that evaluated by a physician, you know what I mean? And he had this very, like, you know, the advice he gave was just really solid, you know what I mean? So, like, when you, like, heard it, it didn't sound like he was a shill or anything, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I remember you talked about that. It was like, the show had integrity, and, like, he had an integrity about him that people really just, like, resonated with.
Yeah. And in a really frank way of talking, and he's really unflappable, too. Like, it's very hard to ask him a question that he's not going to immediately, like, take a moment to consider and then answer. Like, he's got a real easy way of answering tough questions bluntly and honestly that really resonated with audiences. And so the nascent Dr. Drew was born kind of when Loveline was combined with Ask a Surgeon to become a kind of wacky late-night call-in show for teens and young adults to call into with medical questions or questions about sex or...
And you said that at the time, you know, you kind of... You kind of viewed him almost like as a father figure because he's someone you could ask questions that you didn't really want to ask your parents or anything like that.
In a non-judgmental way.
It was a California staple. Loveline, yeah. Now, Loveline didn't go national for a while, but when I was a young teenager, I listened to Loveline almost every... It was syndicated all over California. And so it was a late night show, and I went to sleep listening to Loveline from probably about the age of 15 or 16 all the way through 18. I mean, it was just a part of my life, and Dr. Drew was part of that.
What was the appeal? Because I remember it nationally a little bit, but I don't really remember
it was funny.
The old radio show or what was
it was
about
funny
or...
because it had that late night quality. They could get away with shit that you wouldn't be able to during
That's
normal
true.
Radio hours, and with the auspices of having a doctor there to answer medical questions. So it was kind of titillating because they could talk about sex and shit, but really what kept me coming back to it was just like a long, frank conversation between Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla. Punctuated with all these crazy call-ins that were screened, obviously, for the crazier ones. But that talked about shit that you weren't supposed to talk about. Like, I would have rather gone to Dr. Drew with a question about sex than my dad. And a lot of people felt that way.
And why? Because he was just so frank.
Because
right?
he would just give you the straight shit. Like, he would laugh if it was funny. Like, he understood the humor behind it. That's why he's good at what he did. But he would just honestly answer you. Like, yes, you don't want to stick a pineapple up your ass. Like, it's a bad idea. You could get hemorrhaging and anal fissures.
Like he was really clinical to a degree, is what you're saying, but there's also a human element. Like, he had a way of humanizing that. He had a good bedside manner. Where he could really talk to people and empathize with them.
He knew how to use the medical terminology and then explain it to people in a way that they could understand. Here's why it's a bad idea to put super glue down the tip of your dick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because here I've actually read case studies of this happening, and here's what the guy had to do. They have to flay the penis open from the top to the bottom and remove it physically from the urethra, like a hard chunk of the glue, and then they have to sew him back up. And the penis is almost never the same. The vascular, that's how he'd go on about that. And kids love that shit because it's like you can explain to them like what happens when something happens rather than just going, don't. You know, it's
don't
just,
do it.
I don't know. Like, it implies respect. He was willing to talk to kids that called in like they were adults and answer their very adult questions in adult ways that they could understand.
Well, I mean,
and it was actually a necessary thing. Like, he filled a void. He was like, a lot of people compare him to Dr. Ruth, who I don't know if you guys remember Ruth at all.
I remember Dr. Ruth.
Dr. Ruth was this little old lady who was she was a psychologist as well. She was maybe one of the first kind of TV psychologists. But she was known for frankly talking about sex because she specialized in human sexuality. And so she had this really great accent and stuff. But she was really great at that. But he was the dad figure for teenagers who couldn't go to their dads and go, hey, dad, I'm gay and, like, you know, I'm wondering how do I be safe and have sex
so
with
the
my
show
boyfriend.
Was also socially relevant, is what
right.
you're saying.
Yeah.
There was a thing where it was like, it was
AIDS was a huge thing at
the
time.
It was weaved into the cultural fabric where people like you would, like, so, like, you talked to your buddies at the time, like, oh, Loveline. They'd be like, right. Oh, yeah, dude, I saw this and listened to that or heard this.
When this started, AIDS was a gigantic national epidemic. If you go back to that other picture of him with the condoms and shit, did you take it down?
No, I got it.
Yeah. Because it really, the reason why he's depicted there with his co-host at the time in an ocean of condoms is because he was a large driver of that, like, safe sex, be protected. He never told kids, don't fuck. He told them, if you think you're ready to do it, you think it's a smart idea, go ahead and have sex, but do it safely. Use a condom. Use spermicidal lubricant. Use this. You don't want to have a baby. You don't want to get a disease. You know what I mean? And because he was so frank about everything else, because he would talk to you about, hey, can I put a fucking dildo up my ass? Is that going to hurt me? You know what I mean? He'd be like, well, that depends on, you know, you just have to be very careful. Use lots of lubricant. It depends on the size of the dildo.
So, like, he's very realistic
with
people.
Now, you could be hemorrhaging if you're too rough with yourself back there, but usually it's fine.
He's not rough with people.
He never judged anybody for their kinks and shit. They would call in and be like, yeah, I like to whip myself. Is that okay? He'd be like, yeah, that's called masochism. And it's like, you know, it's okay to want to inflict pain on yourself or have pain inflicted upon you. It's well documented.
It sounds like there's really just the quality of the show that it just has so many.
And Adam Carolla was there.
So many different appeals. Like, yeah, there's a comedy element to it. There's like the wacky shit.
So you got a comedian there that's
there's like
goof
solid
on
advice. There's very an understanding host.
I have a clip from it.
Yeah. You can hear some.
Hey, Drew, when you were at the Best Buy yesterday, did some like 16-year-old chick come up to you and start talking to you about what an asshole I was?
Yes, she did. She scared me.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
What'd she say?
First of all, she was very upset, and I don't know what you'd said to her. She walked away yelling.
Oh, she did?
You're an asshole.
Some 16-year-old chick came up to me and said, and I got this great policy for anyone who screws with me, by the way, but she said, I was looking at phones that I wasn't satisfied with, and she said, are you an asshole in real life, too? She was like a 16-year-old girl, and I just looked at her, and I said, beat it.
Oh, boy.
Beat it is one of the greatest things you can say to somebody. But you can't say anything else. You can't say, like, beat it now or no, I'm not.
I was looking at phones that I wasn't
saying. You just got to look at him and go, beat it. And it scares him every time. So I scared her, and I guess she went and talked to you, and then I lost track of her.
Yeah, she looked like she was getting ready to get, like, start throwing stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, she got angry. Yeah. Fine. We'll take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back.
But, TJ, I hate to tell you that the image that I have painted of Dr. Drew Pinsky on Loveline is, in itself, tarnished. I put it in the wrong section, but I did pull an article up, if you could pull it for me here, about Dr. Drew, and this came out, not this one.
Okay.
There we go.
Whoa.
So this came out relatively recently, but in a lawsuit against GlaxoSmithKline, it was revealed that among many other doctors and celebrities and shit, Dr. Drew was paid to shill his antidepressant on Loveline, basically, to make positive claims about Wellbutrin in exchange for $275,000.
You know, it looks like, Paul, looks like all that integrity was...
Now, the
was,
only the only reason we know...
His integrity was branding.
The only reason that we know that this happened is because of this lawsuit. So we have no idea how many more of these contracts that Dr. Drew has taken, how many more pieces of his advice are tainted by corporate expectation.
So the entire time you were listening to him...
Yes.
And trusting him. And
now, I don't know if it was the entire time. Maybe this was a one-off thing.
Right.
But I have to call into question now everything that he ever said about go try, get on it. Because you know what? He used to say, I was a kid with depression. And kids with depression would call in and say, I want to kill myself, or I want this, I want that. And he'd say, you need to go talk to somebody. You need to get on a Lexapro or Wellbutrin. Or I'd hear him do it. Now, I have to call into question, was that good advice to give that kid? Or was he paid to do that? And was it maybe bad advice to tell that kid to go get on an antidepressant? Especially because it's really bad. To, you know, it just makes it whole, it makes it dark.
I mean, but don't you think with him not meeting or knowing these people, actually being their physician, that it is kind of an extreme step to tell them, go ask for drugs? I mean, maybe, look, I'm not saying it would never be beneficial to those people. But it's really
specific
kind of
drugs.
Like, yeah, but go get these specific drugs.
Yeah, go talk to your doctor and let
Prozac.
Him talk to you about some of the different drugs that are available. Not, you should really try Wellbutrin. Now, he made some wild claims about Wellbutrin. I wasn't able to find a clip of him saying it. But one of the claims that it was alleged that he made while he was under this contract was that Wellbutrin could, quote, make women multi-orgasmic.
Oh, my God.
And it happened while he was under contract to say nice things about Wellbutrin. That claim, by the way, never substantiated by any kind of scientific study. Just something that, another reason why to funnel more women onto Wellbutrin, because it makes me come a bunch of times in a row.
It's just
peddling
shit.
Yeah, you know, he's on a show. Conceivably, yeah, when you're on Wellbutrin, because I guess somebody called in and said they came a bunch when they were on it. And he was like, oh, yeah, you know, conceivably this drug could make women, you know, multiple orgasm, you know, yeah, that could happen.
Dude, he's a doctor. He has a
while
scientific background. He knows those claims are bogus.
So how many snake oils does he get for being the father figure that was taking money from Big Pharma behind the scenes?
That's gotta be like 10 at least, dude.
10?
10, dude.
All right.
I mean,
he was sold on his integrity, TJ. Like, that's why people listen to
him.
These
kids called him in with their deepest,
and he
darkest
surreptitiously
shit.
Throws
their darkest
it.
Shit.
Dude, he surreptitiously
I'm gay and I can't tell my parents.
How many
I'm depressed
people do you think
and I want to kill myself.
He surreptitiously got hooked on drugs.
Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. Like, we don't know. But if you respected him and said, you know, that's good advice. I'm going to go talk to someone. I'm depressed. Oh, here's a bunch of drugs you're going to take.
I know I was horribly disappointed when I learned about this a while ago. I've hated Dr. Drew for a long time because there's more. I mean, just like with Phil, we're only scratching the surface of this motherfucker. So it's a horse race right now, guys. I think it's neck and neck, honestly,
it's
if I'm
tied.
Doing the math right.
Yeah, it's tied.
By no machinations of our own, neck and neck through their pre-TV careers.
So, let's talk about Dr. Phil's TV career.
Oh.
So, when we last saw our good buddy Dr. Phil, which I'll go ahead and put him back on the screen,
he's helping rich people beat their fucking rap. You know, he was helping giant corporations better prepare for negotiations and shit.
He's running a CSI, his courtroom. Whatever the fuck.
Basically,
it was.
Give your side the advantage, company.
Yep.
The courtroom sciences Inc.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever
it was.
Huckster bullshit.
Huckster bullshit. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that it was legit. I mean, it must have been very satisfying to its clients because in 1995, Oprah Oprah was in some legal trouble. I don't know if you guys remember.
Oh, shit, dude. The queen was in trouble?
She sued, well, the cattle industry of Amarillo, Texas, sued Oprah because she did an expose on some of the shitty practices of
factory farming and shit.
Factory farming and the beef industry. Yep. And
them cattle like it like that. They stay nice and warm.
How it was the meat was tainted by all sorts of
salmonella,
crazy shit.
Salmonella, yeah, yes. All that shit.
She did an expose. They sued her, and she retained the services of CSI. And worked.
Best decision she ever made.
Well, apparently it was because she won the suit. She was so impressed with McGraw in particular that she thanked him personally for her victory
Dude,
in the case.
Dr. Phil is the fucking just
which ended in 1998.
An expedient social climber, dude.
So
like,
soon after that,
he saw the big fish, and he
I guarantee you, Dr. Phil
sucked up bad. He sucked up so hard to Oprah, she didn't even thank his company. She thanked him.
That's what I'm saying. Wow. Like, he was smart. Like, he saw, like, Oprah's my client. I got to get in with this bitch.
Yep. And he made sure he got
in. Give him a snake
tight.
Oil for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's appraise them all at the end.
All right. Fair enough.
But his appearance was so successful that because after he won the case in 98, he appeared on her show, which I'm sure was his angle the whole time.
Of course.
His appearance proved so successful that he began appearing weekly as a relationship and life strategy expert.
Oh, my God, dude.
On Tuesdays, starting in April of 1998.
Dude, so Dr. Phil is a really good con artist because obviously he fucking conned Oprah, dude.
So after that,
I mean, clearly she buys into his bullshit.
After he's in the national spotlight, he starts putting out books like crazy. Bestseller.
Well, his show just becomes a vehicle to sell shit.
Yes,
at that point.
And he doesn't even have his own show yet. At this point, he's just on Oprah.
But yeah, but Queen Oprah touches his book, and it's like, you know, the books, like, dude, Oprah at that time.
She's a bookseller.
She made
machine.
Bestsellers. Oprah mentions your book. Remember that fucking book about the dude that made up his crazy
life? A Thousand Little Pieces or whatever the fuck it was.
She recommended his book, and he was a New York Times bestseller like the next week.
And then he got exposed.
Or whatever they do.
And
then
she brought him back and like savaged him and fucking just like ripped
his fucking
head off.
Dude, they fucking took it, dude. That's how much power Oprah had, dude. Like, most people would just be smart and be like, I'm not going to go on that show again.
Yeah, why? I don't know what he was
just like,
stupid. I guess he thought that maybe she was going to be nice. The next year, he publishes his best-selling book after he's on the show. It's called Life Strategies. The next 4 years, he publishes 3 additional books, all bestsellers, along with workbooks to complement
them.
Oh,
my God, dude. Dr. Phil is cashing in.
So as of September of 2002, McGraw formed Pateski, I don't know how it's pronounced, Productions, launched his own syndicated television show, Dr. Phil, produced by Winfrey's Harpo Studios. We all know what Dr. Phil's fucking show is.
Right.
So here's some things that got interesting. Weight loss products. Dr. Phil briefly tried to make a foray into selling weight loss sauce.
Ooh, that's a lucrative industry.
It is.
A great snake oil industry,
and
too.
In 2003, McGraw entered the weight loss business, selling shakes, energy bars, and supplements. These products were promoted on his show with his sisters, Deanna.
Bone broth.
And Brenda and nephew, Tony. Among the featured testimonials on the show.
Bone brawl!
Dude, they're so lazy that they just get their family members to shill ducks.
Yes, and here's the thing. These products labels.
This shake is guaranteed to make you lose weight.
Here's what it was called. Shape it up, woo woo.
Oh, no. What?
Give him a snake. Oh, my God.
It's up to at least
shape
3 or 4.
Shape it up, woo woo.
Dr. Phil has not found a scam industry that does not give him a hard on,
All right,
dude.
So here's what happened. All right. He said. The advertising said these products contain scientifically researched levels of ingredients that can help you change your behavior.
Oh,
take control of your
language
weight.
Is so loaded there.
So here we go.
Can help you. You know what? You know why most medicine says it helps
it
you?
Can
well, hold on. Let me tell you what happened with it.
It can help you, Scotty.
Ahead. Let me tell you what fucking ended up happening when they said that.
Sure.
That met with swift criticism from various sources.
Of course.
Who accused McGraw, who is a clinical psychologist and not a physician, of lacking the expertise to recommend weight loss products.
Yes, he does.
Facing a Federal Trade Commission investigation into Shape Up Woo Woo's claims, McGraw pulled the supplements off the market in March 2004, and the FTC dropped its probe.
Dude, wow. So basically Dr. Phil was like, Dr. Phil, can you actually prove anything you're saying here?
All right, we're pulling it off the shelves.
We have decided not to sell Shake Shake Woo Woo any longer.
Shape it up, woo 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 woo.
Dude, what the fuck?
Someone tried to investigate the claims, and he's like, oh, shit. Pull oh, that shit. Off the shelves.
Get it out of there. It's Get just, the snake oil off the shelves
it's
now.
It's sawdust and lizard spit. Get it out of the store.
Get it off the shelves now. Like, pull it now.
Dude, have you ever seen... Dude,
they're going to find
watch,
out.
Watch a documentary or something about those supplements.
He's a literal
dude.
Snake oil
Dude,
sale.
He is.
He pulled his cart out of town as soon as somebody asked. Hey, mister, this water you sold me smelled like piss. He's like, bye.
All right, so aside from being a frequent guest on Oprah.
He's a literal snake oil salesman.
I love it.
Holy shit.
Aside from being a frequent guest on Oprah and having his own show, Dr. Phil, which we all know what Dr. Phil is. For those of you who don't know, it's a tabloid show, and he basically brings on pathetic, sad people. And
so you're saying you fell in love with a Nigerian scammer, and now you want to move with him to Nigeria, but you have a husband and three small children? You know, shit like that.
All right, so here's some other ventures.
Phil.
Here's some less memorable TV adventures for
some
Dr.
failures.
Phil.
Well, so a little roadblocks.
So
blocks.
Renovate my family.
That one tickled Scotty's gizzard.
Renovate.
That one tickled Scotty's gizzard.
I thought maybe.
Like a
it was
house.
A, it was a Dr. Phil home renovation.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to come
we're gonna
in.
We're going to renovate hey, your family, TJ.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do there for you, Scotty? Hey, I'm going to come right. in and I'm going to renovate your family
Please,
for you,
let's
okay?
do it. My Here's family's fucked
do.
Up,
I'm
gonna dude.
I'm
going to
knock that asbestos right out of Taylor's head, all right? And we're going to put
whoa,
some new
whoa,
aluminum
whoa,
siding down the front of you.
Oh, whoa. You can't mention Taylor, dude. Don't mention Taylor, Dr. Phil. You're crossing the line, Dr. Phil.
I'm sorry. Did that emotionally hurt
it
you?
It did.
Well, I apologize.
All right, so here's what it was. In 2005, McGraw's son Jay's television show.
Jay's?
Yes, he has a son named Jay.
Oh, he gets another one.
Dude, that's a fucking Chad name I've ever heard. It's Jay's.
Sounds like something that like Will Smith is going to name
his
kid.
His son does this show, Renovate My Family, which is nothing more than a clone of ABC's Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Wow.
It was canceled at the start of its second season following a renovated family's lawsuit.
These motherfuckers couldn't see this shit coming a mile away. Let's find really dysfunctional families. They won't blame us for their problems at some point. One fucking season and like, probably, dude, I bet you a number of these families were probably threatening legal action.
Dude.
What was Dr. Phil going to do to renovate their family?
So here's another show they had.
I mean, dude, who the fuck would agree to this shit? I hope these right, families so were all fake, dude.
After Jay McGraw's show failed there.
Renovate My Family.
After Renovate My Family failed to be a hit, they did one called Moochers.
Moochers?
McGraw and Son announced a new show called Moochers, a clone of ABC's Kicked Out, which I've never even heard of the fucking that.
Who the fuck knows?
However, the show was canceled before any episodes aired.
Thanks.
I wonder why.
Decision.
So, like, let's get this straight here. The first show was just a clone of ABC Extreme Makeover Home Edition, and the second one that didn't even get released is just a clone of ABC's Kicked Out. The next one is called the Dr. Phil House. In 2006, the Dr. Phil
one.
House, which was just a clone of CBS's Big Brother.
Yeah.
Began airing as part of the Dr. Phil television show.
So what you're saying is Dr. Phil is a really good social climber and really manipulative and stuff and really good at peddling shit. But when it comes to actually coming up with original ideas, like, he ain't too good at that.
No.
He needs to steal his model from somebody. Yeah, he's got to steal everything.
Following a protest by neighbors, the house in Los Angeles was shut down and production resumed on a sound stage on a studio back lot.
The right. Dr. Phil
so
House.
After the Dr. Phil House failed to captivate audiences, they retooled it and brought it back as Decision House.
Decision House.
Dude,
I can't deal with these names.
Decision House.
Decision House, dude.
What
do they mean by this? Right. What decisions do these people make? Like, they go to rehab or something, or what?
Decision House, a remix of Dr. Phil House, aired from September to
what
November.
What should I have for breakfast today?
Of 2007.
Eggs, bacon.
Wait, hold on. But was canceled.
Paul, you're on a diet.
I don't even know what the premise was. House. It was canceled due to poor reviews and dismal ratings.
Oh,
what a shock,
Dr.
dude.
Dr. Phil, why?
All right, now, Dr. Phil eventually did end up having a few successful shows, okay?
All right, cool.
He started a show called The Doctors, which is an American syndicated talk show.
Oh, did I know?
Daily on television.
Yeah,
in the
dude,
US,
I've seen that show.
Canada, Mexico, Australia, Ireland, Sweden, and Finland.
Dude, okay.
Debuted
dude,
in 2008, still running.
TJ, that show, dude, is basically like the Dr. Phil, but imagine with like just like physicians.
It's a panel of Dr. Phils.
Oh, dude, and they fucking they shill some serious snake oil shit. Like, they do much a lot of. They have people from these industries, like they'll promote products, and it's like so clearly like someone paid to be on the show to promote shit.
But of all of Dr. Phil's television ventures, his latest is not only the worst, but also my favorite. He is an executive producer of a show called Bull. All
right? Bull.
Bull is an American drama television series starring Michael Weatherly. Mm-hmm. CBS ordered the program to series on May 13th, 2016, and it premiered on September 20th, 2016. The show is based on the early days of talk show host Dr. Phil McGraw's career when he was a trial consultant. On April 18th, 2018, CBS renewed the series for a third season.
So this guy Michael Weatherly is playing Dr. Phil?
He's playing a character based on Dr.
Does
Phil.
Does he look like Dr. Phil?
No. No, he does
this
not.
This is the
so they
ultimate.
Made him into like an action
I'll show
hero?
You. I'm going to show you the trailer.
Okay.
This fall, Michael Weatherly is
Dr. Bull.
Mr. Wall.
Dr. Bull.
Yep. Looks spitting image.
Oh, dude.
Spitting fucking image. Isn't
I'm
he?
Noticing a difference. I don't know what it is. It's eluding me.
I'm suave, sophisticated, cool, and put together.
There's something weird about it because it's, I don't know, it's so not Dr. Phil.
Now, I'm going to try something out here. I have an effects thing. I'm going to try, I think that we can maybe get away with showing it if we show it like this and I raise this a little bit.
What is
it? If I put a weird like effect over it.
Okay.
We have a defendant with a boy band haircut and pimp sneakers.
You're not going to convict me because of my haircut.
You see that? He smirked. He's a smirker.
Guilty or innocent?
Didn't see that coming.
The verdict you get.
That's nuts.
How do I get invited to a high school party?
Depends on the jury.
Oh, no.
He's supposed to be on my side.
I may be the only one who is.
That is how Dr. Phil sees himself, dude.
If the object of this trailer was to never get me to watch the show, it succeeded.
That is how Dr. Phil views himself. That is when he creates a fictionalized version of his
delusional.
Young self. That's what he creates.
You know what they should fucking do?
I'm stunned.
They should show Dr. Phil.
He's not only a snake oil salesman, he's a user.
Dude, if they showed Dr. Phil in that period of his life, this is what Dr. Phil would be doing. He'd be in a seedy fucking hotel with a bag of fucking coke. And he's about to fuck two hookers, dude. And he's fucking counting all his money and he's looking at all his checks and money.
Everything becomes cocaine and hookers to you.
Because, dude, that's what Dr. Phil was doing, dude. He just dumps out his bag of fucking money, dude. And he's just like, you know what?
I love it.
Life is fucking
all right,
good.
So for his TV career, I say you got to assess at least another 10.
Oh, God, easy, dude.
I think
dude.
That's low.
Oh, what? You think that's low?
I think 15 is
something. Oh, I don't know.
I mean, that's just...
He literally
sold snake oil.
All right, so let me just go through a
multiple
quick recap.
Times.
He I had mean, a bunch of a, horrible...
10, 10 is pretty extreme,
all right, so
though.
Here's what he's done. Let's just do a quick overview for you guys. So he cozied up to Oprah.
I mean, he
used
wouldn't
her
do that, though.
Yeah, used her platform to get his own show. Tried to sell some bullshit weight loss products.
That's probably two or three right there.
That he had to drop from the show. I mean, that is literal snake oil, dude. Because as soon as someone investigated it, he's out of town.
So you guys want to give him like...
He then goes on to do a
series
three
to
of
five to that.
Stealing other people's shows, but branding it under his brand
right.
and hoping that people will just three. Not notice that
right.
it's a total ripoff. I say he's got to have at least 10 in the fucking TV career category.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can see 15. I can see more.
I say 13, then.
13.
13 sounds fair.
13 it is.
I feel we came to an agreement.
All right. So now it's time to look at the television career of Dr. Drew.
So it didn't take long for somebody to figure out that they had lightning in a bottle with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew on Loveline. And MTV was the one to pick it up because it was kind of the alternative hip network back
in the
late
90s. That was perfect.
90s.
Dude, I remember that, dude. Loveline was the perfect program.
I pulled
for
MTV. A commercial from Loveline if you want to play it.
Okay. Yeah, give me 1 second.
Sure. It was the same format, a little cleaned up.
Is it the Seattle numbers call-in or is that something else?
Yes.
Well, dude, it really had an appeal to like you said, it was like teenagers to young adults. I mean, they're not watching fucking Jay Leno and the Tonight Show and that kind of, or the, you know, and they're not watching the Tonight Show is what I'm saying. They're not watching that.
Love Line is a show about love. It's also about lines.
You're on the Love Line phone. What's your question?
People call and talk about love.
My boyfriend keeps avoiding me. What can I do?
And serious experts answer them.
Please, double up on the deodorant.
Love Line. Good advice, diverse points of view, celeb guests, and a whole lot of love.
So, it worked pretty well, and it ran for quite some time. But it was around the time that it got picked up that Dr. Drew started taking money from GlaxoSmithKline. So that's the first provable instance of him selling out, was immediately as soon as he got national attention and had an MTV show.
Yeah.
So to say that he didn't do it before that, I don't know. I mean,
someone in the chat says Bull is actually good.
Oh, maybe it is.
I mean, if it is, it is, but that's not Dr. Phil.
No.
So either way.
But Love Line eventually came to an end. It went on for a while. Adam Carolla left. And as a TV show, it kind of ceased. But it still went on for a while as a radio show with a few different hosts, with Dr. Drew being the only kind of solid rock at the center of it. And I think he said he did it out of a public service, but I think he did it as a platform, because he immediately did what Dr. Drew or Dr. Phil did, which was to make a bunch of different shows. So the one that hit was Celebrity Rehab. And
now, I know you have
this
some,
has to be the most reprehensible reality
this
TV
is the
show.
Reason that you chose
that
is
a hell
Dr.
of a fucking
Drew.
Claim
yes
so, the most reprehensible reality
go
show.
Go ahead and lay into the I reasons mean, why yeah. you think it's a despicable
that,
fucking show.
The burden of proof is fucking high for that one.
It's a show dealing with people who are substance addicted people. Mm-hmm. They're addicts of various stripes. Alcohol, heroin, cocaine, all of these things were represented on the show. Different kinds of pills. Addictive behavior is fucked up. When people are addicted to something and then they withdraw from it, they do things that they wouldn't normally do. They become kind of demonic.
But couldn't you argue there's also shows, I mean, like fucking Hoarders, there's fucking those rehab
shows. Those are still way exploitative, and I hate those fucking shows too. But this show, there's something particularly, because this show is run by a doctor. Hoarders, I know they have doctors,
yeah,
kinda,
they
but they
with,
try and
yeah.
help these people. And
I mean, it's still exploitative, obviously.
Dr. Drew never dug anybody's house out.
Well, we got a whole
them.
Other section on exploitation, so let's
right,
not
right. But I'm just saying the nature of this show is to take people who are in profound crisis and give them money and incentivize them to play up and make asses of themselves. And remember, this is at the dawn of the internet when this started. It's you know, the beginnings of social media. The beginnings of this kind of mass media life that we live in, where everybody's... So these people were just subjected to horrible, like, stories and horrible news things on the internet about them, and clips of them having emotional breakdowns while withdrawing from cocaine are just endlessly played everywhere. And as you can imagine, that probably isn't great for recovery. You don't see a lot of recovery places have cameras around capturing all the meltdowns and stuff from addicts, and for good reason. And Dr. Drew, being a doctor, should know that. That's a fundamental principle. So it's just a horrible show. But it didn't stop there. Celebrity Rehab, controversial though it was.
I noticed you put this article after... this is after On Call. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
So we'll cover that in a second.
Yeah, during that show that happened, but you can pull it up. That's actually fine.
I actually have a.
It was on that show.
I think I have a Celebrity Rehab clip as well.
Oh yeah, that's right. You can watch what he thought was going to be helpful
the show
to
is
these
like,
addicts.
I've never seen this show before.
So is it this?
Now we got to be careful with this one. I don't know how much we can get away with any of these properties. It's like showing.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said,
I don't know.
On season one of Celebrity Rehab, Daniel Baldwin questioned Jeff Conaway's desire to get sober.
Do you want to get sober? And your answer was, you didn't know. That really scared me.
Thus began the most ridiculous and confusing battle of words in TV history.
Muted, honestly.
All right.
So it's basically a bunch of B-list.
You know, you've had a seizure in here. You've go to the hospital in here. You've disrupted the group a number of times with loud antics. You smuggled drugs into the place.
Daniel accuses Jeff Conway of smuggling drugs, which is the spark that ignites him.
No, I did not.
Unbeknownst to you or not.
No, I did not take it back.
I've never heard the phrase unbeknownst to you said so many times. Like, that's the way to stop a fight.
Unbeknownst to you.
Jeff didn't know two things. One, that he had cocaine on him. Or two,
It was unbeknownst to me at the time that I was not coming in with any drugs on me.
Okay.
Drug company.
All right. Then I'm just
let's leave it there.
You need Wellbutrin, buddy.
Don't forget that he does that.
Your career took a downturn. That's really sad. You turned to alcoholism.
Hold on. There's some kind of problem with the audio. It says we can't hear you. I could see our audio going through.
I think that's... I don't know.
They're saying they can't hear us, but I'm looking at our audio blasting out to them. Can't hear over the video. The video shouldn't even be playing.
Oh, well, it was just that because it was loud, because you were fucking with it at the beginning. They're behind. They can hear us fine now.
Well, I mean, even when that was going on, they couldn't... I mean, I guess when I turned this dial
up... When you turn the effects dial up, it probably just fucked everything up. Made it super loud for them or something. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
They'll chill out in a sec.
Oh, you're probably right.
That's all it was. They're just behind us by like 3 minutes. It's
fine. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Anyway. Like I said, it's just a bad thing to do. He exposed these people to horrible ridicule from all the horrible paparazzi press about their meltdowns and their foibles with drugs and shit. And he paid him a pittance to appear on the show, and he raked in a bunch of cash. And he's supposed to be a doctor that knows how to help people. But that was just the beginning. Celebrity Rehab was just the start. I just pulled a list. He's done a ton of these little spinoff shows, and they're all in the kind of Celebrity Rehab / Loveline vein. So he's just kind of really tried various stabs at these, but he hasn't found much success. But he had a show called Dr. Drew On Call, which, I don't know, it ran for a while. And here's the description for that show from the show. The doctor's in the house. Well, he never actually left, but now he's on call just 3 nights a week. For Dr. Drew Pinsky, it's a new approach to his formerly titled headline news program, Dr. Drew, with an emphasis on the host interacting more freely on live TV with his audience, both in studio and at home. So it's just him doing medical advice.
Dr. Drew needs a fucking Adam Carolla or somebody else, and it's painfully obvious. Adam Carolla obviously got bigger and better offers, so he moved on to do different shit. I mean, look, maybe Adam Carolla will be coming up for Has-Been again. They can team up again and make Loveline like 2.0 or something.
But here's what makes all of this shit suck. He bought it on the back of being America's dad, but the whole time, basically, he was selling America down the river to corporate America.
He was like America's fucking CEO, dude. He was thinking shrewdly. Like,
he ingrained himself into the psyche of 90s kids with his dad shtick. And then he's basically coasted on it his whole life. Show after show. Sober House. Here's another great
one. Sober House.
Take addicts that are just recently not addicts, just recently drug-free, and
put them in a stressful environment
where they're living on top of each other in a sober house, and then film it.
Oh, Paul, I'm
what
sure there's
a great thing for their
fucking
recovery.
Guess what? I'm sure there's never any relapse on that show.
What a wonderful thing for their recovery to show all their breakdowns and have cameras on them. I bet they're going to stay off drugs after that.
Oh, dude, Paul.
Because Dr. Drew cares, guys. Remember Dr. Drew? He's your dad from back in the 90s.
Did you find anything
about...
The
guy that loves you. The guy that cares about you.
Did you find anything about relapses from that show? Or did they actually have relapses on the show?
Had relapses. People would leave and they would cover it. They'd break out of the sober house and go get on drugs, and they'd cover how many drugs they did.
Oh,
and if
my
they were
God,
allowed to come
dude.
Back, it's bullshit.
It's just crazy.
Sex rehab with Dr. Drew. How's that? So sex addicts now. Let's take another thing that's taboo in society, and let's pay people who are addicted to it to put their deepest, darkest secrets out in front of the world and only put the meltdowns out because that's what people want to watch. Life Changers. I don't even know about this one. I've never seen it. It says it's a half-hour daytime show hosted by Drew Pinsky. Premiered on September 19th, 2011 as part of the CW daytime. Oh, the CW.
God, dude, he was really reaching.
A lot of these shows are on these smaller, like the WB or the CW network or TNN or
something. So Dr. Drew is kind of fame chasing at this point. Like, he had Loveline that was really super popular, and he's been chasing that since then.
Another attempt at that was Sex... with Mom and Dad, which I don't know, they were going with the innuendo there, but they succeeded. But really, it was a show where he tried to help teens talk to their parents about sex in a frank way. So another Loveline spinoff. And then Dr. Drew, which was a big, that was a talk show, basically. And I pulled a clip from Dr. Drew, the talk show. There's nothing super notable about it, but that's kind of why I pulled it. If you want to see the kind of shit he's making now, take a look at Dr. Drew.
All right, let's see. Is it this ex-porn star thing?
Yep.
On the phone, Jenny. Oh, it's headline news, of course.
You know what? I've thought about this a lot, Jenny. First of all, fabulous name. But...
well,
you know, every single thing that has happened in my life has brought me to this moment right here. And there are things that I had trouble forgiving myself for doing. And you know what? If I continue not doing them now and I continue making that amends to myself by being the woman of grace and integrity that I know I can be, then all of the...
Everything you need to know about what they want people to know is on the screen in front of you right now.
Yep.
Former porn star
sex addiction. We're really trying to make this land.
I mean, this
is just
like
a boring conversation.
It's just SEO fucking targeting people, just trying to get people to look at shit and go, oh, man. Well, this is what this is about. This is boring fucking schlock. Dr. Drew is adding nothing. He's letting this woman ramble on his television
but
show.
But go a little further, and you'll get to hear him use his trademark
past
smooth
all
voice.
Of the history, everything that's happened, it was all... for a reason. It was all for right now.
And Jenny and Georgia, the reason I'm glad she said that is she can be of so much help to other people out there by virtue of your experience. It's your darkest hour will be your greatest benefit to others who are suffering.
I mean, I hope so. That's my biggest
hope. This is how this guy just has to
fucking... So he's really trying to dress it up. See, the reason Loveline worked is because it had a conversational feel. It wasn't this packaged corporate bullshit that we're staring at here. This, like, we want to see Dr. Drew in a suit sitting on a stool across from an actress and talking in very somber terms about what the damage it did in her life.
Because they have to be exploitative, but also they want to be accused of being so they have to couch in this, like, oh, you're such an inspiration to so many people, and what you're doing is courageous.
So the authenticity
really
is gone.
Yeah, it's all
the
bullshit.
The acerbic sense of humor is gone. The edge is gone from it. It's no longer funny and witty and heartwarming at times.
Well, there's no one to make a joke about this,
It's just been repackaged into this corporate shit where it's now Dr. Drew's trying to be his solo thing. He doesn't want to sit across from comedians anymore. He wants to sell his personality on his own, and it's not working.
It's just a tense conversation. There's no one to make any levity of anything they're saying. He's not going to bring that. He's just like, that's very good. I have a very measured approach. And it's like, yeah, but this is all super serious, and it's not really even that interesting. Even though you're trying to fucking draw people in with salacious titles, when you actually watch this content, it's really boring.
But that brings us up to up to date on that article, TJ, from that the one about the Hillary thing. That's another thing we can talk about. Dr. Drew got a little heat on one of his shows for talking about Hillary's health. He was one of the health birthers.
Oh, shit, dude.
Who were saying that, like, I think Hillary's going to be dead in, like, 2 months. He was on all kinds of talk. He was doing the talk show.
I remember this.
Yeah, he was doing the talk show circuit talking about how Hillary's going to die at any moment.
Yeah.
He was a known doctor, and he was desperate for publicity at this point. Right. So now he's going to say Hillary's dying.
Diagnosing her without taking a
single look at her. Oh, Hillary's going to die. Yeah. Come check out my new talk show.
She had these neurological disorders, this, that, and the other thing. Oh. So he was really driving that conversation.
What was he selling, his book or his show, or what was he selling at that point?
He's actually a conservative, so I think he was selling Trump.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a known conservative guy. So I think at that time he saw an ability to take his cachet as America's Dr. Dad and go out there and smear Hillary Clinton like she was going to fucking die of some horrible disease that apparently didn't come to fruition. Because last time I checked, she's still hale and healthy and doing her thing. So, yeah. He drove that conversation and that kind of hyper-focus on all the weird little slip-ups and things that she had on the campaign trail. He was one of the voices that made it like, does she have brain cancer? Does she have Parkinson's disease? Oh, is she on some kind of neuropathy med that's making her forget?
It's so crazy because
you know,
he thinks he has credibility left, but the deeper down the rabbit hole you go, you see how like much more he's... Like it used to be, like you said, it used to be like to the point where you wouldn't even believe it. Paul's like, what? To the point now where it's all like, oh my God, look at this clip of Hillary on YouTube. Oh, she's dying. She's right. dying. It's like, what? You've become one of those Alex Jones
but when
types.
People would go looking for experts, he's one of the experts that they found that was going like, oh yeah, definitely. I'm a doctor. And you know me, I'm Dr. Drew. I'm your 90s doctor dad. And yeah, she's got brain cancer for sure. I got 100%. She's going to be dead soon. I mean, like. The things that she's doing would be like a horrible brain tumor or, you know, some kind of Parkinson's disease or some kind of progressive, brain degenerative.
Dude, how much is Dr. Drew worth, TJ? Can we figure that out?
Yeah, I didn't pull a net worth.
Because, I mean, like...
It would be interesting
to see. I'm hoping it's hundreds of millions of dollars or some ridiculous amount.
That's all I've got for him for TV. And a lot of that could have probably gone under exploitation, but we'll get to that in a moment. But it's, you know... Just an instant corporatization, sell down the river, try to use his cachet.
Dr. Drew's net worth is $20 million.
He sold his fucking soul for $20 million, yep. Dude.
Well, for a net worth of $20 million.
Yeah, net worth, not even $20 million. Like, dude, yeah. Dr. Phil is selling his soul, you know, proverbially, is like he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's, you know, he's basically super rich, dude. He's probably going to be a billionaire at some point. Like, Dr. Drew did this for, like, I mean, that's a fucking fortune, but for what he's done, I mean, not really.
There is a guy in the chat named Dark Nook who is counting your likes, Scotty. Every time you say like.
Okay. Like.
Oh, you just fucked him up. Damn.
Have fun counting that out, bitch.
Fucked him.
All right,
so that's all I got on his TV career. That's the basics.
And someone said the dude count is probably higher anyway.
Oh, yeah, the dude count is always high, dude.
Oh, that's for all of us, though.
I use it like a period, dude.
There was definitely something fucked up about our audio.
There was? Shit.
It's like, let me run a quick test before we continue. I want to just check something.
Okay, all right.
It can help at least.
So I'm playing this video. I'm turning it off here. Yeah, I don't see it pushing, so that's... pretty weird. Oh, well. I'll have to figure it out later what the fuck is going on. Anywho, let's move on to the next section about our good friend, Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
What a fucking piece of schwill.
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 Schwill. Schwill Wheaton.
It's like swill and shill.
Swill Wheaton.
Schwill.
So this is the exploitation section. Let's go ahead and look at these exploitative.
Get to the blaxploitation section.
Oh, we need a blaxploitation section. So one of the first pieces of evidence that I have that this is an exploitative fucking piece of degenerate
shit. You're already convinced.
Check this out. Where's my sound? It's back up. Oh no, it's this one that needs to be up. Okay.
Is being accused of exploiting mental illness thanks to a recent episode promo. The episode, which airs Friday, features Shelley Duvall, who starred alongside Jack Nicholson in cult horror movie The Shining.
I just want to go back to my room.
And Robin Williams in Popeye.
I loved Robin Williams. I don't think he's dead.
Where do you think he is?
Shape-shifting.
Do you see him?
Has, yes. Very sick. I need help.
Well, That's why I'm here.
The video has outraged some.
That's why I'm here.
That's why I'm here.
I deeply care about you. Help.
I'm not here to put a very sick, profoundly sick,
Robin Williams
woman.
Is a shapeshifter.
Like that woman, I don't know.
I care deeply about you.
Shelley Duvall was always weird. But here's the thing, dude. When an old lady like that is rambling about shit that's clearly not true, you don't put her on national TV for people to point at and laugh at and shit. Because that's what happened. He put her out in front of everybody in a state where she wouldn't want to have been seen like that. Like, I don't care who you are. When she was young and still had her mental faculties about her, she wouldn't have wanted to be a big, fat bag of old lady sitting there rambling about nonsense.
But you know what?
That didn't help her.
But what is the reality, dude? The reality is this. A bunch of people enjoy it. The people that don't will whine. And then the other people that want it, like, why are they whining about it? Let me go enjoy it. Let me look at this. So there's people condemning it, and they're going to go see it because they're condemning it. There's the people that support it, and they want it more of that shit, so they don't give a fuck one way or the other. And even if Dr. Phil takes a little bit of heat, he's going to make a bunch of money. So he doesn't give a shit. I mean, this guy's just a fucking
all
crass.
All work and no play makes Shelley
Duvall go
crazy.
He's a crass fucking snake oil salesman. He doesn't give a fuck.
Including Shining director Stanley Kubrick's daughter, who called it purely a form of lurid and exploitive entertainment.
No shit.
Fans and other entertainers, including Mia Farrow and Patton Oswalt, have expressed support for Duvall while accusing the Dr. Phil show of exploiting her.
I don't think she deserves respect, but she doesn't deserve to be exploited by a fucking parasite.
Yeah, I agree. That sucked, and I'm sure that's not all you've got.
No, it's not.
That alone is
so. Todd Herzog.
Shit.
I don't know if you guys remember that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
He was a winner of the show Survivor.
Okay. What the show's about.
But Todd Herzog was so drunk when he appeared on the Dr. Phil show in 2013 to get help for his alcoholism that he had to be carried onto the set and lifted into a chair.
Dude, are you fucking
I've never
kidding?
Talked to a guest who was closer to death.
And
he show did that? Host Philip McGraw. No, it gets worse. Philip McGraw declared on camera. TV viewers, however, didn't see the setup for this shocking scene. Herzog told Stat and the Boston Globe that he was
fucking kidding me.
Hold on. Herzog told Stat and the Boston Globe that he was not intoxicated when he arrived at the Los Angeles studio. In his dressing room, he said he found a bottle of Smirnoff vodka. He drank all of it. Then someone handed him a Xanax, he said, telling him it was calm his nerves.
So they got him drunk?
They got him drunk.
And
they,
dude they knew was
they
addicted
lured him
and they
there.
Put him in
the bottle? They put him in the room with a bottle of liquor. And then gave him a Xanax before he went on so that he would appear more, like, you know...
Wasted.
Yeah, they wanted him to come on wasted.
Because you wonder why? Because the simple fucks at home. Dude, a lot of shit, like, you know, obviously like the show business, show don't tell. So when they see this guy drunk as a fucking skunk on the stage, and it's like, I got an alcohol problem, and then Dr. Phil's like, I'm here to help you. He looks really fucking good, and the guy looks like truly like he's an alcoholic. Like he was he just like think about how it plays in their mind. He was so drunk, he knew he was going to be on TV, and he still got drunk.
Yeah. Now look, the guy did drink of his own volition, but you bring on an alcoholic and you put him in a room alone with a bottle of booze.
Yeah.
What do you think is going
to
happen?
And put an addict by their drug of choice, and we don't know what they're going
to
do.
And then give him a Xanax to fuck him up even worse.
Okay. Why do people take drugs? A lot of times they take them when they're nervous or deal with problems. So it's like you're about to go on a show, so you're nervous, and there's a bottle of booze right there. What do you think is going to happen?
So they set him up to go drunk on the show. So
if there was any ethics involved in it, Dr. Phil, one, would not have done any of that. He would have just been like, you need to go to rehab and I'll help you. That's it.
Oh, Dr. Phil, by the way, has cozy deals with tons of different rehab clinics where he sends his patients. And
oh, I'm sure.
Dude, it's promotion for the places.
It's all a part of the deal.
So here's how
go to the Betty Ford Center.
Here's how the show works. Guests wait up to 48 hours in hotel rooms before their scheduled taping, with the show sometimes filming pre-interviews during that time. As guests wait, they confront a painful and potentially dangerous detox, leading some to look for illegal drugs. One guest bought heroin with the knowledge and support of the show staff, according to a family member.
Of course they did.
Another guest, who was pregnant, was filmed by a show staffer as she searched for a dealer on Skid Row in L.A. It's a callous and inexcusable exploitation, said Dr. Jeff Sugar.
No shit.
Assistant professor of clinical psychiatry at the University of Southern California. These people are barely hanging on. It's like if one of them was drowning and approaching a lifeboat, and instead of throwing them an inflatable donut, you throw them an anchor.
But, you know, there's always this argument, though, that you can make. It's like, you know, like nature documents. Like you watch a David Attenborough documentary, and like, let's say the fucking lion is chasing the gazelle. It's like, people don't interfere. They go, well, that's just part of nature. So, like, they always come out and make this thing. Look, we're just documenting what these people are doing. We're not encouraging them. It's like you said, the staff was like, yeah, you could buy heroin because, of course, it's better ratings. They might not say, hey, we recommend you do it. They're not pushing them to do it, but they know they're going to do it. You know what I mean? What do you think they're sequestered for 48 hours with nothing to fucking do? What do you do in hotel rooms? You do fucking drugs or you sleep there? That's all you fucking do in hotels or fuck.
Yep. All right. So
that's it.
I'm going to play not the video, but some audio from a Dr. Phil interview. The girl he has on is some bitch who obsessively texted another woman she was in love with like 10,000 times or some ridiculous amount.
Okay. Wonderful.
But he abruptly ends this interview, and I feel like I know why.
You say that you truly think it's the love story of the century. Really?
I do, yes. I'm writing a book about it, actually.
It's the love story of the century, but you've never physically met.
No, sir. And y'all can laugh at me. It's fine. I will be your spectacle. I will be your laughing spectacle. You can all laugh at me. It's fine.
Well, you know what? I think we're just going to shut this down because I'm not into all this melodrama and you playing the victim and everything. So you're saying the audience is making...